Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz on this wonderful Thursday. The Cubs win. I think Donald Trump won. Not that it matters, but I do think he won. I don't know if anybody, I watched them both on two TVs, but Cubs is great. But I look at the debate, and I thought Donald Trump did one of his best jobs from a debate standpoint. I think he's still a little bit weak on some of the subject matter that needs to be done. I think he's really solid on the business end. I think he is solid on the economy, but some of the foreign affair crap, maybe a little weak. But I thought he was pretty straight up, and neither one actually came up with some great plans or anything. But again, I believe that the business side of Trump will help carry the day. And of course, I don't like Clinton, but forget about my personal opinion for a minute. I thought she had a rough debate because she couldn't really prepare for a lot of the questions. And I felt I watched, and although Donald did some of the same, but I think she deferred and skipped a lot of questions. And I liked the fact that he called her out on it as she would push around a question she didn't want to answer. And I thought that was interesting that he caught it. But I thought that Wallace did a great job moderating the debate, and he kept them pretty much under control. So I thought from almost every standpoint, I thought it was a good debate. But I do think that we've obviously saw how Hillary had her one way. Now, she's a pro, right? And she was appealing. And who was she appealing to? Children and women and families. Why? Because that's who she's going after. That's, everybody wants to take care of their family. Everybody wants to talk about their family. Now, she didn't talk about a lot of horrible things she did, but I thought it was amazing how, they both, Donald brought up some stuff that was in the past, and he's been pounding on. But, if Hillary's got so many bad things about Donald Trump, where do they all come, where are they? All she'd had is the same group before, regarding the few things. And I thought her comparison of, they talked about the 30 years, which she has done nothing. So you cannot argue that fact that over 30 years she has done nothing. Okay? But build a massive fortune and do a lot of things that I don't think anybody would be proud of. I think that would be something that I would look at and say, hey, I'm not proud of that, right? I mean, she's done a lot of bad stuff. Like her or not, she has done a lot of bad things. Now, in politics, I'm sure a lot of the people that are out there that aren't running for president that I may like might have done a lot of bad things as well. Okay. But she did defer her answers when she didn't want to answer. And, the question was asked directly from the moderator about, Bill and what she did to the women. And that question somehow went unanswered. But I think one of the interesting things when Donald came up and talked about the 30 years, and she immediately went, yeah, when I was doing this in Arkansas, you were going bankrupt. And when I was doing this in here, you were on The Apprentice, whatever. And I go, well, yeah, he wasn't in politics, so why should he have been anywhere else? I mean, to me, it didn't seem like a very good comparison. And she had nothing to do with Bin Laden. Okay, that wasn't her. She has done a horrible job as at every office she's actually held. I mean, again, she's no different than any of the other politicians, so I'm not singling her out here. They're all a bunch of greedy pigs. And I don't care what anybody says. That's what it comes down to. They're a bunch of money grubbers and greedy people that I don't think have any interest in the American people. I believe that they're in it for themselves. That's what I believe in the Clintons. And I think the Clinton Foundation has been proved to be not very more fraudulent than anything else. But again, I think that from a non-professional's standpoint, I thought that Donald Trump did a very nice job. Now, again, you'll look at things and people go, well, you know, he's not a politician. And no, he is not a politician. But you know, the nice thing about being president, you get to name all of your aides and all your candidates. And I think there's something very interesting. Okay. Now, I am not, you know, I believe that, you know, the state should have more power. And we should go back to having the states run a lot more of the things. And I thought the political, the Supreme Court questions were interesting. Now, again, I'm a believer that those should not be lifetime appointments. I'm a believer that those should be actually voted in. Okay. But again, I don't know that they're going to change that. But I think that, you know, a lot of the things, especially from a professional politician, she was very inconsistent with her answers. And I think she had her worst debate because she didn't have the prep and she didn't have the questions ahead of time. And she didn't have a moderator who was tilting the debate in her favor. And I think you saw more of the true Hillary. Now, again, she didn't get drilled. It wasn't like a massacre. But I think if you take the two together, I think it was a very, very good victory for Donald Trump. Now, whether it be enough to carry the day, I have no idea. But I believe you saw a lot of Hillary's true colors. And I think a lot of her lying, cheating ways, showed up out of that debate. And again, if you like her, vote for her. I mean, look, that's the beauty about America. It's a free country. But I do believe that, you know, it's not only the person that you're electing, but the people that are going to surround themselves with. And I do know a lot of the people that Mr. Trump is going to surround himself with, and I'm very impressed with that. So I would say that the country itself has a much better chance of improving if the Donald wins. Now, again, I'm not moving out of the country if he doesn't win, because he's still a big underdog. But I do give him kudos for improving. I think he held his tone back. A couple of times he got into the third grade stuff and but basically I thought he did a nice job. So I give him credit for stepping up. In my opinion, Hillary did not do a good job. And again, she was not prepared. And this is what I always worry about, is people being able to think on their feet and make the key decision, which so far we don't have that right now in the president, in the Federal Reserve, and any of those other very important offices. That was my opinion of the debate, and the Cubs won, so it was a good night. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, but before I do, I'm going to remind you that it is libertytalk.fm to get the download of the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And if you, for you who like to endeavor in a little investing in the sporting world, you check out the Sporting Edge. We're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you as always at this time of day. And yeah, I don't know, I've been on a roll lately. I'm really an irritable sort. I must have irritable bowel syndrome or something. I don't know. I must have an ingrown hair growing somewhere. But I'm telling you, this is, you know, obviously I do a lot of media, and I watch to make sure what other people are saying, so I can debunk and debate their issues. And what I really hate is when money managers who have not one dime of their own skin in the game, okay, come out and tell people what they should be doing in markets like this and how they should be buying it up right here. Okay, you know, when you don't have your own skin in the game, I think you got a lot of balls to start to, you know, recommend what people should be doing. Okay. Because this world is about, you know, having your own skin in the game so that we can, you know, be set up and ready to go. Okay. And I don't understand how guys can come out, you know, and everybody go gaga. Well, he's got $6 billion under management. Yeah, he's got it under management. So he's getting his fee and he's living the good life. Okay. Well, his investors may or may not be living the good life. Okay. And this is one of the problems that I find out when I find it in managing of money. Okay. Is look, get your own skin in the game and take care of business. Okay. And participate along and don't be ridiculous and talk about things that you would never do yourself, but to make it look good, you're spewing some crap on air. Okay. You know, I mean, what is this world coming to? Okay. It's about the whole situation. It's about, you know, having people be successful. And the truth of the matter is if you do a little bit more homework, you could be successful and your clients could be successful. And we wouldn't have to worry about these ridiculous breaks that do happen. And I find that to be, you know, a troubling scenario for me, because again, there's certain things that don't have to happen. But why do guys who, you know, and they, when they ask you, you know, you have to disclose whether you or your family or your relationship own it. And I never see anybody own anything. All I see is them recommending some ridiculous whatever, and they have no ownership themselves. Well, if you're not going to own it, why would I want to buy it? Okay. It just doesn't seem logical to me. Okay. And since I am the only actual trader that goes on air that trades my money, okay, nobody else's, I don't trade anybody's money, I trade my own money. Okay, have done so for 36 years, has been my career for 36 years. Okay, so I don't understand why everybody's so impressed, you know, by what people are managing. I mean, I hear how great everybody's doing. In the meantime, you know, the hedge funds are getting creamed. They're dropping like flies. You know, they're losing money. They're getting demands for redemptions. Okay. Why? Because they're not doing a good job. Because nobody's worried about protecting. Everybody's looking for the next score, you know, to get those bigger fees. And I believe that fees come to you if you wait for them. Okay. Fees come to you. You know, if you do a good job, you'll get paid forever. Okay. It's like the old Doyle Brunson line. You can shear a sheep many times, but you can only skin them once. And to me, I think it's a crime that we do things like that. I think that it can be so much better. There's no reason to do that when there's very simple strategies in place that you can help people. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a funny world. If you help somebody defend their portfolio and make it grow all the time, then you make more money that way, don't you? I mean, isn't that a better way to go about things? Instead of just worried about raising money and raising money and raising money and just and getting up the big commission, doesn't it make sense to figure out a way to make it so they stay forever? I mean, we all know in business, it's hard enough to sell the guy in the first place, then let alone have to come back and sell him a second time. So if you do your job properly, you put yourself in a hell of a lot better position overall to continue to defend and take care of your business. Okay. And that's what I think, you know, I always ask, you know, where's the pride gone? And, you know, I was always from the school that I knew that if I did my job, I never worried about the money. Why? Because I knew if I did the right things, if I did my job, I was going to make the money. Okay. So I never counted how to make it. I just kept doing my job and knew that by doing it correctly, the money would be there. And that's where I think we're missing the angle. And maybe it's something to do with the rough economic times. I don't have the answer to that, but I think that it's an important thing that we need to look at, because at the end of the day, okay, we are all in this same boat, okay? And, you know, we can get out of it, but we can't continue to let things slide by. We can't continue to let the bad things happen. We have to be able to help and take care of it ourselves, because, again, there ain't nobody out there, you know, defending it, right? And that's why I always warn everybody, you know, you do your due diligence when you're looking to invest your money somewhere. You know, don't just invest your money. Do due diligence. Study. Find somebody who knows, you know, something. You know, find somebody who can help you. Okay. You know, go to one of your friends. Say, you know, who are you using if you're looking to use somebody? Again, I'm all for, you know, due diligence. And there's plenty of great people out there. But you got to find the ones that are not just looking for your money and you're going to throw it anywhere. Okay. You got to find the ones that really understand how the market works, what makes it work, and how to make you better at it. Okay. You got to make the ones that don't make you feel like you're a kid and asking for permission when it is your money in the first place. Okay. And those are things that I find, you know, troubling. I mean, again, I'm a straight up guy. You never know what'll come out of my mouth, right? Because I tell like I think it, you know. I don't like to be, you know, set up, and I won't. There's certain things I won't say, and there are certain things I, you know, I certain appearances that I won't do if they want me to say something that I don't believe in. Because at the end of the day, I believe in everybody here. At the end of the day, I believe in making the business more solid. At the end of the day, I believe in having people that want to invest understanding the investing, which is why I started the high school investing program, so that young folks would learn early and not have to have the same problems that many of us face today, because we're out of touch, we're out of times, and, you know, we never had the talk, okay, the talk about, you know, what are we going to do next, and that, you know, every parent thinks they have to have the sex talk. Well, maybe you should have the money talk, okay, because at the end of the day, it's the money that keeps you going. Okay. And I think you need to learn, you know, again, like any other business, your investments, your investing account, your IRA, your 401k, whatever it is, that's a separate business. That's a business that you're building now that's supposed to take care of you when you're ready to call it a day. And I don't think we have enough of that. I think we need more. I think we need better, more knowledgeable investors. And I think that our investors need to be able to ask better questions, because that's where issues come to pass. Because when we don't have that great understanding, that's where mistakes happen. That's where we end up losing. And that's where we end up getting in either in over our head or in problems that shouldn't be problems. And that's where you need to, you know, take the time to be diligent, study, research what you're going to do, okay, and have a sound, valid reason for using who you use or for that investment that you're going to make. Make sure that you understand what you're trying to accomplish, and make sure you know what the bottom line is, and make sure you understand the risk model behind it, because it is all about you after all. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to step out of here for a break. But before we do, you know it's libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And if you like to do a little sports handicapping, we certainly handle that on the Sporting Edge. So check us out, and we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Fly me to the moon. Let me...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you, and I'm going to give you guys a break from me bitching, and I'm going to share my Wednesday interview with Marlon Bowling from RFD Market Rally Radio right now. Here we go.
Chicago, and Todd, thanks for joining us here this morning. Kind of a mixed affair here overnight. It looks like the market is seeking direction right now.
Marlon, it's always good to be with you. Good morning. You know, I mean, we're having a, you know, I think a pretty good trade, a pretty good market right now. We've seen in the grains to have, you know, found a pretty good base. And, of course, we're seeing some, a little bit of selling, which I think was expected. We got up to, you know, what I would think a small resistance area. And as long as we can hold somewhere within here, within a few pennies, you know, yesterday's late day sell-off after trying to rally much of the day was, I think, pretty healthy, actually. I know it's always hard for people to hear me say that we should probably go a little lower first, but the key is where we stop on the way down. And I think if we stay somewhere around here a little bit lower, we could certainly see higher prices, which is what I'm actually expecting as we move forward in here through the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think there's going to be some money coming in. I think there's going to be a lot of good things to look forward to. So I'm very comfortable with the way that we're trading. I think that the trade is going exactly well. And as long as we stay away from the disastrous sell-offs and making new lows, I think that we're in pretty good shape.
All right. As you look ahead here, South American weather conditions, what do you hear from your sources about how that new crop is going in the ground here so far in South America?
Well, I hear everything is all right. I mean, what I really hear, though, is and what I really watch out for, Marlon, is really how the action and what the price action looks like, because I always go back to that news and what we hear, by the time we hear it, it's already been kind of priced into markets. And that's, you know, we've got the big producers and the big firms that are paying millions and millions of dollars to get this information way ahead and already have their position set up. So the markets are more important, excuse me, than the news that actually comes out, because by the time any of us get the news, it's already been played by all the big dough. And when the big money's in, they're kind of giving you a direction of they think based on the information that they're receiving. It's because, you know, we know that we very rarely get a great, perfect story and don't have the deep in details that come along with some of these reports. So I'm more interested in watching the actual price movement, because that always is the king and will always show us the best direction where the markets are looking to go next.
Do you see much ahead for the wheat market here or not?
I think the wheat market's. I think wheat's gone a lot higher. I think wheat
really?
Is. Yeah, I do. I think wheat has found its base. I think that last push to the downside a couple of months ago is really been it. And I've been on it. I own wheat, and I'm going to continue to look for spots to buy it. I think that you're going to see a much stronger market. And I think one of the things we look at is the, you know, the price wheat to corn, and that had become very narrow, and it looks like it's starting to widen out again. And I think it'll go, you know, back out to at least a dollar. And I think we're going to see that wheat could probably make a nice run up here, probably before it's all done, to $5.
I've been hearing some areas in the Southern Plains have been holding off on sowing their new crop wheat just because it's so dry out there and they can't seem to get a rain right now.
And that's interesting, because that's exactly what's going on. And of course, you know, even in the corn markets, you know, there's been, you know, very low prices, and there's people that are holding, you know, they're kind of like creating their own market right now and creating a little bit of a shortage here. Although there's supposedly plenty, you know, there's buyers out there, but, you know, they don't want to pay the price. And so the seller's just saying, hey, I'll just put it away. And, you know, as long as I can afford to store, I'll just put it away and wait till prices come up. And that's, you know, kind of the markets at work at their best. And I think it's going to work out fine for the farmers and producers, as long as, you know, your cost to store and cost to hold is not, you know, greater than what you might be able to get for it later down the road.
All right. Well, Todd, we're going to pause for a little break here. I want to bring you back here on the other side and talk with you about maybe the livestock trade and also some long-term implications from, possible ramifications of the upcoming election season. We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back right after this. On the Wednesday morning edition of Commodity Wrap, I'm Arlen Bowling with you. I'm joined by Zach Troutman, who's running the board for us today. And on the phone, our very special guest is Todd Bubba Horwitz. He, of course, is with BubbaTrading.com, a terrific website, by the way, if you want to check it out, full of resources for beginning and advanced traders. And it's very educational as well. Todd, thanks for joining us here. I know you follow the money policy of the U.S. with high interest there. And I just wondered, with the upcoming election, no matter what the outcome is from this election, whichever way it goes, what potential does that have for impact on the U.S. ag commodity trade and its ties through the financial complex?
Well, I think we know that if the current administration, which would be Hillary Clinton, wins, it's not going to be good for farmers and producers. It has not been good for them the entire time through the last 8 years. I mean, we've had a couple of good years, but basically it's been a torturous setup. Because when you don't allow banks, and you create too much regulation, and the banking industry is not willing to lend money, and when they do give it to you, they've got their thumb on top of you. And of course, we've just seen this in the last few weeks, a lot of forced liquidation because of the regulations and because of the fear of the bankers. It's not good for the financial industry. It's not good for making money. It is not an environment that helps us with her as president and with the policies that they go now, because what they want to do now is they want to continue with the entitlement programs and continue to do the same thing they've done previously. And, you know, as you hear President Obama state, you know, he's created 10 million more jobs, but what he doesn't tell you is that we're not making more money. We're making less money today. And that's a problem. And when they're looking for inflation, that's a problem. So I think that, you know, a Trump, you know, presidency, he's got his issues as well. But I think if you run it like a business, which that is one of the problems, you know, as we all know, especially farmers and producers know no better than that, that if you continue to spend more money than you take in, you get a problem, and you have to learn to run a business like a business. And that is one of the issues that I see. So I think at this point, we need somebody in the White House that understands business and how it works and doesn't want to continue to give more government money and more government jobs to create really nothing and really get people to go back to work. Because at the end of the day, we need people to work to buy our farm products. We need people to buy our goods, our textiles, everything. And we're not getting that right now with the current administrations.
That's interesting that you brought that up, because I've been hearing rumors over the last couple of days that some ag lending banks have been forcing cattlemen to make some sales just because of the commitments, and they're worried about a price collapse here in the cattle complex. So it is all kind of tied together right now, isn't it?
That's 100%. I mean, that is 100% what has happened. Is the there's been a lot of forced liquidation, which was the real big selling point in cattle. They were forcing them out because they didn't like the loan value, so they were making them liquidate. And when that happens, what do we know? We know the buyers step away because they know that they're being the sellers are being forced to liquidate as well. So it's not a good situation. This is not good. The whole business model, Marlon, from the banking industry down, you know, you can think what you want about banks, and I think they're a little bit shady, but at the end of the day, they have to be able to lend money. And when there is, when the interest rate is so low, they are not willing to lend money because they don't make enough on the spread. So with the tie of that in with regulations, it makes it much tougher, especially for the community banks who basically get abused by the bigger banks. And of course, farmers and producers, they depend on those local community banks to help them run their business, because we know how expensive it is just to get that crop into the ground before you, so before you make dime one, you've already spent lots of money just trying to get there. So we need to get change there, because it will make the industry much easier and much better and much more efficient.
All right. Well, Todd, good to visit with you again. Thanks for all the insight into the markets. They're interesting perspectives. If you want to talk more about the markets, get in touch with Todd Bubba Horowitz. You can find out more at BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. A great wealth of information. We'll be back.
And so far, so good. We're pretty much basically on target with the things that we thought should happen. And, you know, again, we want to make sure that we get some confirmation of what we're going to see. I think that, you know, overall markets are, you know, the markets, and we need to see certain footprints to allow us to make better decisions and put ourselves in a better spot. Okay. As you notice, I never get involved with all the stuff, you know, because I just don't think that it, I don't believe it. Excuse me. I don't believe in it. Number one, I believe you end up running yourself into a corner if you do. And I think you're better off using the money flow to find areas. So now we're waiting to see how these things trade up. But we have, you know, we have the grains are looking pretty good. Okay. And the livestock is not. But of course, if it can hold in these areas, it could be, it could turn out to be very good. So we have to, you know, make sure. Again, and this goes to whether it's a stock or, you know, whatever it is, everything trades the same. And I defy anybody. I'll show you a series of charts, and I'll bet you you can't pick out what it is, okay? Because, again, all charts are the same, and we want to make sure we understand that. So, you know, at the end of it, look, we got to wait. We got to be patient, and that's one of the hardest things to do, especially when you got real money at stake. But you got to be patient and let the markets tell you what the next step is. Because at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we are putting ourselves in the best mathematical position. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, I want to remind you, LibertyTalk.fm. You know, we got a lot of great other programming there as well. Make sure you check it out. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. And you got to check out Bubba Trading. I mean, what the hell? Come on. Good stuff up there. Go check it out, BubbaTrading.com. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show.
The song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander. Orchestrated by...
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come aboard, come aboard. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and, you know, lots of stuff going on in the world, and a lot's got to do with the good old-fashioned... our friends at the banking industry. And I think that, you know, I do a lot of media myself, and every Wednesday afternoon I do Market Rally Radio with Chip Flurry. And, you know, we had some fun, and prepping the show, I had retweeted out that the banks are ruining the country and the world. And man, you should see the Twitter battle that took place from there. It was unbelievable. Battle about the banks, and there were, I was driving and tweeting. Not a good thing. I hope there's nobody listening who's going to arrest me. But it was quite the battle, and I'm going to lay it out for all of you who missed it, because I thought it was pretty cool. Of course, I've talked about this many times, but banks are taking over the world. We continue to bail them out. The big banks, not the little banks. The big banks eat up the little banks, and they, you know, it's kind of like I said, they eat their own. They're trying to put them out of business so that they can take over the world, so that we can continue to be involved in the too big to fail system. But banks are starting to, you know, force liquidations. They have no spine. They're gutless when it comes to carrying paper for people. And obviously they have their own agendas, and I won't get into that here, but they do have their own agendas. And at the end of the day, I tweeted out that the banks are responsible for a lot of these problems, especially in the cattle markets, because they're forcing liquidation. And that spiked an entire debate on, well, why is the bank's fault? And I go, because if they're over lending or they can't let somebody be in it. If somebody's got a hedge on and they're protected at let's say, you know, 100 in cattle, okay, the bank knows that that's where they can get out at, okay? So why would they be concerned? If they loan the money based on that, why are they calling the loan now? Well, there's a lot of reasons they could do that. One would be that maybe they're trying to force the market lower, and I'm not accusing them. But certainly, most guys have hidden agendas and other things that they think about. So, you know, this is the problem when you destroy and take out the free market system. Okay? When you eliminate free markets, when you destroy them, and you let too few can have too much control, you have Jamie Dimon taking over Bear Stearns for a dollar. You have farmers losing their land that's been in their family because they've got overextended once because it's been a rough year. You've got corporations overpaying for farmland because they can. But they're paying way overpaying for land, but they can work that model out because they have the money. So what's really happening, in my opinion, is they're stepping on the small guys. And this has been the MO all along. This would be almost the Fed mandate to squash the little guy. Because why else would they be doing what they're doing? There is no reason that the little guy, we're always the ones that are there to pay off the debt. We're always the ones that are there to help, okay, when things are going bad. But, you know, God forbid, one of us should go through a rough time, liquidate, force liquidation, get out. And, you know, again, I'm not talking about trading. I'm not talking about creating margin. I'm talking about straight out, you went to the bank and borrowed your money to get your whole setup laid out. And they know the story. They know how it is. They can see the markets. And you borrowed enough, you know, and they never overlend you, okay? And you borrowed to be in business, and now you're in business. And now they're telling you, well, you can't be in business anymore. You got to liquidate. So you've gone out and done some things, and markets have been a little tough. And they give you the tap on the shoulder and say, sorry, Charlie, you got to get out. And, of course, you take a bath. And either you reach into your savings or you go somewhere and you start to get concerned. And, of course, the profits aren't there. And here we are, okay, creating another mess. And the banking industry itself is full of crap, number one, okay? The big banks against the little banks, I mean, you know, ask any banker privately, okay, what he needs, and he'll tell you what's going on. Okay. And I'm not talking about the big guys, because the big guys are, you know, they live in the crystal palaces, and they don't deal with the peons. Okay. But go to any small bank, you know, any of your community banks, and talk to them about their industry, and they'll tell you what's going on as well. And the problem is that they have become so overregulated, and they become such a pile of crap that their hands are kind of against the wall, and they're kind of getting dictated. So even though forever you could get a loan on a handshake, they knew you're going to pay them back. It's not like you're going to take the money and run. I mean, you know, it's not exactly like you could pick up your farm like on a fly by night and run away, right? It's not exactly that, you know, you're not somewhat involved there. You know, this is not a scheme. You know, it can't be like the Baltimore Colts and pick up and leave. So, you know, at the end of the day, they create these scenarios, and then they don't honor their word, okay? And partially because they can't, again, going back into these regulations. And when you overregulate and you destroy the free market system, what you've really done is you've really destroyed the small businessman. Now, farmers are small businessmen. You know, any small business. But nobody ever thinks about the unintended consequences of what goes on through the rest of the industry. You know, if you wipe out a business, you're not just wiping out the business. You're wiping out the employees that work for the business. You're wiping out a lot of the industry around there because a lot of those small businesses continue to feed other small businesses and bring them income and money. And we get what we call the velocity of money. But then, of course, you have the jerks that put you out and don't allow you to do that anymore. So you tell me, okay, are you being, when you borrow money, if you're a farmer, are you being irresponsible? I would highly doubt that, okay? I mean, you know, I feel I have a pretty good handle for the industry. And a pretty good handle for the people that work in it. And I would say, it, you know, the most honorable I've ever met. So you're going to tell me that you're all of a sudden you're going to be, you know, out of business tomorrow. And that becomes the bigger problem because the regulations that are in place, the banking setup the way it is today, gives nobody any leeway. And you cannot be in a position like that because obviously, especially in the agricultural business, in the live animal business, hell, anything can happen at any time, okay? It's not like you're manufacturing a widget, okay? You're growing, you're planting, you're building, you're feeding, and you're working, okay? And for them to simply just say, screw you, it's time to run, to me, is a bigger problem. But to me, this is also the sign of the times right now, which is free markets are going bye-bye. The little guy is going to get squeezed out. And at the end of the day, that's the problem. And this is the same thing of being overtaxed, overregulated. And if anybody read the history, this is exactly the same types of things we fought the Revolutionary War for. So don't think that that cannot happen again, because eventually the people are going to rise up. Because, again, the issues that we're dealing with here are beyond reasonable. And the whole system is breaking down all to bail out the banks and the government. And to me, that's a crime. And it should be a crime. And somebody should be going to jail, because we know nobody will. But at the end of the day, this is a crime. And this is the whole Twitter battle that I had. And obviously, I can't take it. It's just silly, ridiculous. But this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And when you miss one of the shows, you go to libertytalk.fm and you download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And you have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.